ABC Radio Australia.
International observers who oversaw Fiji's national election last November have declared that the poll significantly advanced electoral democracy in the country, a significant description given Fiji's history of coups. The multinational observer group has publicly released its report into the 2018 election and found that the process was transparent and credible. It also concluded that while the results broadly represented the will of the Fijian voters, it did observe that there was a lack of trust in the electoral processes that remains amongst some people. It's delivered 21 recommendations in total, which Fiji's Supervisor of Elections, Mohamed Sanim, says they will consider carefully. He spoke with local media Fiji Village.
We recognise that the multinational observer group has found that the general election was fair and credible, and it represented the will of the Fijian people. It also found that the conditions were in place for citizens to exercise their right to vote freely.
Well, the Australian MP Jane Prentice was one of three co-chairs leading the group of observers who were on the ground, nearly 80 of them in total. And she joins me now from Parliament House in Canberra. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Kat.
Now, you say that the 2018 election would prove to be a milestone in Fiji's democratic progression. What are the major reasons that you and your colleagues have based that claim on?
Well, we had observers in country for quite some time, and we observed all aspects of the election, not just the vote on the day, but how the people of Fiji were prepared, the information that went out, the thoroughness of the voting processes and the counting processes. We interviewed many stakeholders across a whole range of areas from the different political parties. We met, you know, even with just interviewed local voters and villagers, and we brought all that back together and developed our report. And I think it would be very easy to say congratulations to Fiji. I thought it was an incredibly well-run election. I think even Australia could learn perhaps from some of the wonderful process that they had put in place. But still, it's only the second election since the last coup, so there's still a little bit of trust to still be regained by the people. But the people definitely voted freely. There was a wonderful atmosphere on the day in the polling stations. Everyone was very professional and efficient, and there's no doubt that the result is a reflection of how the people of Fiji voted.
Well, getting into some of the 21 recommendations, we can't get through them all, but one of them, you note in the report that Fiji's anti-corruption body advised your group that there had been no breaches in regards to government officials using government resources to their electoral advantage, but you're still recommending they look at this and develop a caretaker mode during the election campaign period. Why is that?
Well, Kat, it's not very clearly set out, and that's where you get a little bit of concern from stakeholders in the process. And so the members of the observation group felt that if there were clearer guidelines around the caretaker period, what was allowed and what was inappropriate, and that was set out more clearly. We don't believe anyone wants to break the law, but if the law or the regulations aren't clear, then it can lead to accusations of some people having more advantage than others. And so the MOG recommended that we review those issues and put in place some sort of more detailed regulations around the caretaker period.
Well, speaking of more advantages than others, your report also has looked at how under Fiji's electoral system there is an absence of party identification in all official election materials, including the ballot papers themselves. And you've concluded that that, quote, effectively prioritises candidates ahead of political parties. Do you think that the incumbent Fiji First government, which did develop these laws post the 2006 coup, has done so intentionally to give them an advantage? And then what changes are you recommending?
No, we had feedback from many stakeholders, but the observers felt that it was a level playing field. I mean, everyone had a number that was drawn randomly. It's just that we did get feedback, and we can't quite understand why it would be a problem if the party was identified on that voter register information booklet. Now, as the process was that we observed, the numbers were drawn out in advance of the election day, so voters only had to remember one number. But a lot of voters said to us that they felt that there was no reason why the party couldn't be on the voter registration booklet. We wouldn't put it on the ballot paper per se, well, that's up to Fiji, but we believe that the feedback was such and we couldn't see any downside to having the party name in the voter register booklet.
Now, I was also there in Fiji reporting on this election, and by far one of the most commonly discussed topics was the blackout period, which left journalists, politicians and members of the public that I spoke to quite confused. Now, of course, blackouts on campaigning news just before polling is common in many countries. So what is wrong with the way that Fiji does it? Because it is amongst your recommendations.
Well, once again, it's a recommendation just to review and clarify, because the media who we spoke to felt that there was some confusion about what they could report on. Could they report on facts? Or was that because it was something associated with the election, they weren't allowed to report on anything at all? And that's why we believe that, once again, to instill more trust, to give confidence to the stakeholders, perhaps there should be more regulation around what actually is required during the blackout period. The other problem, of course, as you appreciate as a member of the media who was over there, there are penalties associated with breaching those rules, and that's why there was a little nervousness in some quarters about what they could report and what they couldn't report. I do note that Reporters Without Borders said they believe the media have improved in their ability to report, and the freedom of the media has improved since the last election. But we believe there's still a bit of confusion around that.
You mentioned there the penalties that do exist, and that is also one of the recommendations that you, but also your colleagues who observed the 2014 election as well, have also talked about that the penalties for various electoral offences can be disproportionate with the actual offence. Now, you've made recommendations, as I said, they did in 2014 and they weren't necessarily implemented. Are you concerned that that and many of these recommendations won't be implemented there by the Fiji officials?
No, I believe the Fijian officials definitely have a desire to make sure that the people of Fiji trust in the process and trust in the outcomes. So I think if they believe that it will improve the environment, that they will adopt these recommendations. And we haven't been prescriptive in what they should do. We're just saying that this is an area that there's still some concern from some stakeholders, and that to make sure that it has the confidence of everyone across the board, that they need to review these areas and perhaps involve some of the stakeholders in that consideration.